All right, guys, let's start up.
Don't you think like the ones who reduce dependence on
No, I really don't think about
it. Okay, guys, let's start up with the discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and Mikvah Lamed Daled. How's that sound?
Can we have Minchah for Shul?
Sure. Let's be the last two things we saw briefly. So let's start here on page 22 of the source sheet. The discussion in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Nun Dalet before we get to Kuf Lamed Dalet. So we saw a distinction between different types of kviya, different types of coercion. What was the distinction between? Josh?
We had like with him, or we also had two different types of social coercion. We had midui, which we said was not allowed, and then we have like calling an amaryan and hakavot derinkam, which are allowed.
Good. So the Shulchan Aruch said that in cases where kfiya is not allowed, let's put it this way. The first Shulchan Aruch said there's a distinction between cases where the halacha is yotzi v'yitin ksuva, or just yotzi, that category, and cases where it's kofenos olahotzi. And the distinction is that when it's kofenos olahotzi, then you're licensed to use physical coercion. But when it's merely yotzi in the Gemara, you can't use physical coercion, but you could put some pressure to call the guy an avarian for not listening to the Chachamim. That's again the Shulchan Aruch. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, wherever you're not allowed to be kofa physically, you're not allowed to put somebody into a nidui, so you can't excommunicate somebody, but you are allowed to invoke cheirem, the archokas of Rabbeinu Tam. What are the archokas of Rabbeinu Tam? Anybody remember? Josh Brachman?
Like, don't do business with him, and I don't know, various other things of that nature.
Don't give his son Mila.
Good. Yeah, not to give bris Mila to his kids.
How's that different from you doing?
Yeah, so we'll have to flush it out exactly. Shelo lasos lo shum tova lusiv litenimo, right? That you shouldn't do business with him. And same b'chol chumra sheyirtu bez and yichol mahakim b'chiyai gavna, mavachli inadu eso. So they could impose whatever chumra they want, so long as it doesn't rise into the category of nidui. All right. So Josh Pirro's question is pretty acute. What exactly is the distinction between nidui and this type of social coercion that Rabbeinu Tam says is permissible, which the Shulchan Aruch paskins here in Simchah and Daled? David.
Well, I was going to, under the sort of idea that we had that the Beis Din is just extracting this person's thought, and he really wants to live in the Chachamim, and they're like, whatever. So, under that version, like, what would be the basis for making such a distinction between physical and social coercion? Because you think it would be from the basis of right in either case to extract this kind of thought.
So, I think we're talking here in cases where it's kfiya shalokadin.
Exclusively.
Well,
exclusively
shalokadin. If it's kfiya kedin, you can do whatever you want to him, right? There's no limit, so you can be kofa even b'shotim. The point here is when there's no halachic basis for kfiya, but there's some obligation, responsibility, the garish, so you could invoke lesser sanctions. Josh,
I think it's also worth asking though, like what is the difference with kedin and shalokadin? Because meaning, if you say like ones like emar makamasha, you would think there's a difference,
right?
So, are we assuming that the difference is that it's just not a mitzvah in these cases, so we don't have that like mitzvah das that you have?
At a minimum, yes.
That's like the main difference.
You have to say that at least.
Okay.
Right? This is the question of all the achronim that we're going to touch on later, the Rotsani discussion, which is, if we're grounded in Rav Huna, Agavonse Gamar Makni from Cheskas Abatim, how do you maintain the distinction of Akum versus Kfilai de Akum, Kfilai de Yisrael? How do you maintain the distinction between Kedin and Shalokedin? The point is, once you coerce him, he consents. So clearly there has to be some other consideration. And that's, you're right to say, leaning on mitzvah shema de bechachamim, that's why the Rambam builds that up. That's clearly an important feature. Okay, let's just review quickly the Ma'arik. Rabbi Yosef Kolon. So the Ma'arik is the late Kufa of the Rishonim. So you can see in the biography, he was born in France in 1420. He dies in Italy in 1480. Pretty short life. Right? Died at 60. We have lots of tshuvas in the Ma'arik. So Marit is late Chachmi Ashkenaz, who ends up migrating east, and he ends up in Italy for his life. So Cologne, by the way, I imagine, isn't that a city in Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I heard
it. Well,
yeah.
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 So I wonder why, maybe he ended up in Germany at some point. I don't know. All right. Either way, so what is Marik saying is true, but he cites Rabbeinu Tam. This is the source for that Psak in the Shulchan Aruch and Kufna and Dalit. So the Marik in Sim Kuf Beis has this lengthy citation with respect to this guy who's not giving a get, where you're not allowed to do kfiya. Kol Rabbi Seinu Shavu B'davar Tigzru Ba'ala V'Chamura Akol Ish V'Isha Mizera Beis Yisrael Ba'anu V'Malayim Shelo Yiyu Rashayim L'Davrimo V'Lisa V'Litenimo L'Harvicho. Don't do business with him. Don't talk with him. Don't feed him. La'achilo la'ashkoso. So if he wants to go to a restaurant, you can't serve him. Can't invite him over for a meal. Lilavoso, you can't accompany him. Or you can't accompany him if he dies in a lavaya. Nor levakro b'chaluso. If he gets sick, you can't go to visit him. Ve'od yosifu chomer kirtzonam. Akol adam im lo yigari shoso ha'ish. V'yadir se'yal da'azos. They could even add other chumras as the community sees fit. Shebezeh ain kfiya alav. That's not considered to be coercion. So you can see Rabbeinu Tam here seems to draw a hard line at some sort of physical coercion as distinct from social sanctions. Why? So what's the rationale? Why is this not kfiya? She'im yirtze yimse lo makom. So what's the net? There's a third option. He can run away. She'im yirtze yimse lo makom. As one chassidish guy who wasn't giving his wife a get, said, you could put me in cheirem, but I'll always find another shtiebel to daven in. Yeah. Go hopping from shtiebel to shtiebel in Brooklyn. So he'll always find a place. So what's the thought there? Ach anu nispared me alav. I wonder here if this already gives us the kernel of a response to Josh's question about what's the difference between Nidui and Harchokas Rabbeinu Tam. So it's pretty interesting that Nidui, we can look into this more carefully, imposes Chiyuvim on the Nadui. Like he has Dinim that he has to observe vis-a-vis himself. So for example, he's not allowed to travel outside his home. He's not allowed to get a haircut. He has to be nohe the many of the dinim avelos. So there are obligations that fall on the person who's put in cheren. The kohal enforces it, but there's a chovas agabra to behave a certain way. Like you are excommunicated, and like there's this curse that runs through your ramach evarim. That's the idea. That's different than just saying, hey, the community is not going to engage with you, without saying that. Like there are certain nihuge avelos that you have to hold with respect to yourself. Does that make sense? Josh, you see the distinction?
Yeah.
I just think that's medioc in this last line. Exactly. Anu nispared me alav. We're going to separate ourselves from him, but it's not like there's some chiv on him that he has to be noe gini avelos. I'll add some halachos from Hilchos Nidui to flush that out.
Another way you can understand this though is that it's, a nidui would apply to it. It's a din on every community versus harchakos is just a din on our community. Just like the community is from, which is obviously a little odd that we wouldn't apply to harchakos.
Universally.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what it sounds like. Well, let's see. Shebezeh ain kfiya alav, lo makom.
Like we'll find somewhere else to go. And we could be in the minyan there.
Although I do want to point out the language of the cheirem of the harchakos, and that first line is al kol ish v'isha mizera beis Yisrael hanil v'maleim. So it does sound like the harchakos of Rabbeinu Tam could be universal, right?
What do you think this line
means? She'im yirtze yimtze lo makom. I think the thought might be consistent with anu nipared me'alav. That, there's no prohibition that's chal on him. He could still try to engage in these things. Well, but the harchakos are chal on everybody else to a distance from him. It's a little cryptic. We have to, I think we need to figure out a little better what it's saying. Does everybody see that though? Anybody have a better reading of that line? So I think the best way to flesh it out right now is this distinction between what something, Romy, why is that so small?
Oh, sorry.
I think you should zoom in.
Yeah. Is that really?
You want bigger than that?
Yeah, do a few more. Yeah.
And we could use top left. On the keyboard.
Wait, why is not good as one?
Click view and switch to one bit.
Whoa.
Wow. Oh, that's
an end line. You can go bigger.
Okay. Adkan Lashon Hagoyin Rabbeinu Yaakov. So that's Rabbeinu Tam's response. So let's take it as a tentative distinction between what's chal on the nadui and what's an obligation of the people. Josh Brockman, you have a comment on this?
Yeah, I was wondering, meaning it's a little weird if you say it's like two separate things, because then like, I mean, if the point is that we're not being quote, it's not called fia, meaning if there's two things going on, that if it's not called fia and we're not actively, because he has another option, and we're not actively doing anything, why do we need that second one? In other words, why would we care if it's passive that we're moving away from him or we're actively doing something to him so long as he has another option available to him that shouldn't be fia?
So let's talk about this dimension of it for a second. Let's just finish the Marik and then I want to come back to Josh's point. This is really the Enkof. And remember, Mausalai, we discussed that's the Ramam Shita, that you could be Kofa. But even according to everybody else, that we're not Kofa and Mausalai, Choshev get Hamusa Shalokadin Lefidvarav. Afiluhachi Kasab Sheikholam Ligzali Badamimenu, to separate ourselves from him. Ula Harchiko Bukholmine Richok Shain Zakarikvia. It's not considered coercion to impose these Harchokos. So why is it not considered coercion? So there's a few things you could say here. Last year, I went with the idea that it is because there are more paths open to the fellow. Right? He could continue to live under sanction. He could live a very nice life in isolation as a hermit. He doesn't have to engage with business with other people to live a decent life. So it's not coercion because we're not telling him he has to do this. We're just simply limiting the different directions that his life could take. But we're not pushing him into one path of having to divorce his wife. Right? So it's like you can think of college. You're going to pick a major, and that's going to limit what you could do in life. You're not being coerced into anything. But there's just, you know, you make choices and that opens and that closes certain paths to you. So if we were to beat him and say, give your wife a get, then basically the Bezdin is taking the position that here's the one course of action that's open to you. Give your wife a get or else you won't live a good life anymore. We're going to keep putting you in pain, etc. Whereas in the Marik's citation of the Halachos of Rabbeinu Tam, we're saying, look, until now, you could have done business with anybody, you could socialize with anybody, blah, blah, blah. But because you're not giving your wife a get, we're going to limit your social interactions. So now your life will have half of the options available before it. So maybe that's not coercion insofar as there's a suitable amount of options still available to him. And you could read that into that's the idea of Yimtzelo Makom. Right, like there's still room for him to live and breathe and do his stuff.
What's the number of options?
Everybody wants to, what's the critical point?
Do we have a marker?
Ben, do you have a marker or no marker? You can try to get us some
yeah. If I have the area. Okay.
And an old green marker. Let's see this. So you can think of you know, you have different. You got a good marker for us or not? Well, that's good. It's this type of trick. So, you know, here's your path of your life, and there are all these different courses of action you could take, right? You could go down this path with these options, right? So the thought is that in Kfiya, you're limiting all these and you're putting him on this path, right? Give your wife a gift. And arguably, in the case of our Halakas Reuven and Tam, you're giving him, you know, there are a few more options open to him still. And so you might say, if you have 5 paths open to you, then you're acting freely. If you have 1 path open to you, then you're under duress. Again, I don't know what the exact number is, but you could just figure out how many courses of action the person has to have open to them to be considered to be acting freely. Now, a different way of reading this, and I'll take all the comments, is to say that Kfiya doesn't turn on how many paths are open to you. Nachshoni, I think you were mentioning this after Shir. Is that right? Well, and Zev also. And Zev's not here to get credit for it. So what was the suggestion? What's the other way of looking at it?
That it's a matter of if the person's actually able to make a decision, if they're overly generous to call under duress of living compared to just taking away certain options. But the person only 2 options are like extreme pain or not extreme pain. It's not like he's going to be thinking it through so logically.
Yeah. The question is what type of rational decision was made by the agent, by the Megarish. So the thought is if a person's under physical pain, like physical pressure, like he's not thinking clearly, right? You ever have that when you're fasting or you have a tremendous headache? You can't think clearly and you're just like, oh, I need food or now what's an example when that happens? Do you know any ones that happen? Once I hold up on that. What?
The Snickers commercials.
What are the Snickers commercials?
You're not human, you're hungry. It's, you know, someone with a monster and then they just bar and then they turn back and ready to
directly. Is that the commercial? You want me to get a visual on the on the Snickers commercial? Is that
the whole candidate?
Alright, you can send it out after this year then. But that's the idea, right? When someone's under coercion, they're not, right, I guess they're not making any decision, right? They're just, the pain is so intense that they can't weigh other options, and so they're kind of forced into this. However, in the case of Halakas Reuven and Tam, none of these things individually is so acute, right? You could still make a decision about whether you want to hang out with friends, whether you want people to be able to visit you and do business with you, or you want to refuse to give your wife a get. Like, nothing there is weighing so heavily on your decision-making process that, like, you're not capable of rational deliberation anymore, right? So it's about how acute is the pressure that's being applied, and does that then make us say that you're not acting rationally or on your own volition anymore? So let's take those as 2 separate models for understanding this distinction between Kfiya Begufo and the Halakas Reuven and Tam. Yoni?
We can say that the lottery endorses that you really need a high level of volition.
But you need a high level of volition.
Yeah, we are definitely not. The road standing really needs to be a road standing. Because we're not doing anything active, so he's thinking rationally. We're letting him think rationally and actually come to a conclusion or make a decision about it. And say, oh, now, due to the.
But this is a case, remember, this is a case where it is. Where Kfiya is not warranted halakhically.
What's that?
It's a case of Ma'as Alai, where the wife just says that the husband's repugnant to her. So some Rishonim, like the Rambam, thought you could be kofa a husband to give a get in that case, but most Rishonim disagree. That's him in Kufnandala. They say, no, if the wife just says he's repugnant, you can't force him to give a get, but you could apply pressure. As Rabbeinu Tam says, like, you can't beat him physically, but you could do harchakos. So this is a case where, let's just, to make it simpler, we'll say it's kfiya shalokadin, but the chap here is that this is not considered halachic kfiya. See that? Mm-hmm. So it's not really relevant to the discussion of kofanos or achimarotzani. It is, but not in the cases, like, the key here is to say there's no coercion for achokos or binatam. It's just pressure. Make sense? Okay, Josh?
Could we
Kobe, is that a hand, or you're just,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know that you're like rubbing your forehead? And...
Okay.
So Josh, then Kobe.
We suggest a third model, just the difference about passive versus active. And it could be that the guy's in tremendous pain and that he has only one option. Mm. But as long as it's passive, then it's not
Kfiya. Ah, and just like a trick about Kfiya is about not the results on the person being pressured. Like, what are we doing?
I think that's from the last line,
the only one. Ah, yeah, so it's interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting line.
Interesting. Like, everything we're doing is passive. Like, we're not doing anything.
Why is that passive?
It's like everything.
It's passive because we're not doing anything. It's the lack of stuff. It's not the lack of stuff that we're
doing. So you just think it's like an active-passive distinction.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, coercion can't, there's such thing as passive coercion. That's the idea. Everything here is just active omission, not to do something. That's pretty interesting. What do you guys think of Josh's suggestion? That's how you read it? So let's look at this again. So Romy's not into it. So you're right, it's all negative. It's interesting, nitparid is like passive, right?
Yeah, the word kfiya itself is a very active word.
It's interesting, yeah.
Distancing,
yeah. Maybe that's a third way of understanding this marik. I think it's really interesting. We should keep our eyes open for other shitas along those lines.
What was the second one?
So one way is to say about how many courses of action are open to him.
Yeah.
The second one is about how much are we taking away his ability to make a rational decision and the acuteness of the pain, like the Snickers commercial? Are you here for that? You sent the link? Okay. You want to get it up for us, Romy?
I don't know if you're serious.
Yeah. I'm serious. How are you supposed to know what... Why is it not an appropriate question? So put it on. Let's go. That's the
Brady Bunch campaign.
So that's the second one. Romy, while you're playing up, so that's the second one. And then the third one is Josh's distinction. Maybe it's a distinction between active and passive.
It's like, yeah, Marek doesn't have to be saying Josh's thing, but
yeah. Right, even if yeah. You're not you and you're hungry. It's taco very good, right?
Thank you.
That's the idea of the acuteness of it. So, all right. Hazere v'kadesh. You saw it with your own eyes. All right, so let's move now to Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, Kuf Lamed Daled. Other forms of onus that may or may not be problematic. This is the bottom of page 23. Kobe, you had a hand. Yeah.
Sorry, I just thought the pretty fight from the Rita Kalam was the manager to sacrifice. The pretty fight, he said, like, He's like, we're going off on savings, like, it's probably battle. Like, that's usually one thing we're most careful about. And then like, the second part, you seem to be like playing games, like, even the word you're using, like, we can't coexist, but like, you can crash your game, you can't.
No, the first part is saying, there's machlokas rishonim about kfiya for tainas ma'asalai.
Okay, in the temple, you have to be careful about savings.
So Rina Tam saying we're risk averse. We don't want to be kofa in that case. That's part A.
He
says what?
He seems to think it's like a very big mistake, like do any sort of like
fear. Well, not any sort. It's Paul Masa.
Right, but that means if we're so worried that like we can't even fear in that case, then turn around and say, well, maybe this is
not fear.
Maybe, but like you're playing like, kind of games a little bit, like saying, oh, this is not fear. If you're like, so concerned about such things.
He's so concerned about kfiya, but he has a strong view about what counts as kfiya. No?
It just strikes me as like a little like, he could have like said like a little, he could have been soft feeling, but I mean, he just strikes me a little strange. And he would then like, you like turn around and like, sort of been bigger to people.
So, I mean, Benji, are you bothered by that?
I'm not
so bothered by it because you're right. I'm saying if Ravina Tom was, just like risk averse and you know scared about it, then he should have been machmir all the way around. But you see, that's not the case. Rabbeinu Tam was mach. He put his money where his mouth is. He said, "I'm machbid that you can't do kfiya, but I'm confident that harchokos Rabbeinu Tam are not kfiya." No, I think it's a very defensible, stable position. But I hear your point, right? Rabbeinu Tam was a wimp. Then he should have just been machmir everywhere. But we know that Rabbeinu Tam wasn't. No, Rabbeinu Tam was like...
If somebody didn't agree with him,
Rabbeinu Tam was as bold as... Rabbeinu Tam was very strong. You should read the stuff in Orbach's Life, so it's about Rabbeinu Tam. What? Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam, you know, he famously said, somebody asked him a shayla, and like, I don't know if you could answer this, and Rabbeinu Tam was like, what do you mean? Like even if the Gemara has a direct stira, it says asr in one place, mutter in another place, I could be miyashev it, all the more so I can miyashev like your issue. And I think I mentioned here what the Ravid said about Rabbeinu Tam. Somebody sent a tshuva to the Ravid. He's like, this is like the response that I got. And the Ravid is like, Ra'isi shehegia b'chem yad hatzarfatim. I see that you've been in correspondence with the Frenchman, they think they're like the strongest of people in the world. Yeah. So, yeah. Rabbeinu Tam was a very strong personality. Okay. Kuf Lamed Daled? Who prepared Kuf Lamed Daled? Romy?
Yeah. In Israel, Bali came to get Tarashiyaki Lokodem, Shalom Yehei Dom Lomit. So if he took a shua that he was going to get, he has to be master shua first, so that shouldn't be looked like his own.
Yeah, so Dom Lomit is a very tricky formulation. So we're talking here about a case where someone took a shua to give a get. So is that okay? So a guy swears, he says he's getting married. I swear I'll give you a get when you want to get divorced. Is that kosher or not kosher? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you should be matir that shvua before the get is given, because if you don't matir it, it's domel ones. That's very tricky. It's tricky for a few reasons. Something you saw in the Rishonim that come up a little later. Why is this a little tricky?
Why is it a problem? You don't
want it.
Well? Why is it a problem? You don't want it.
Well, domel ones, you might say, it's like Kanakobi was saying. Even if Rabbeinu Tam is so confident that there's a hard line between kfiya and non-kfiya, some things are borderline kfiya.
Well, if it's borderline, but if it just looks like ones.
Right, so it's not clear what domen means. Does domen mean that it encroaches upon ones, or does it mean that it's a perception problem? That's a bit of an open question. But conceptually, what's puzzling about this case? I would say two things are. Yoni, what do you find striking about this Nishba Baal? I should say that people in the history of prenups, this psak of the Shulchan Aruch is very relevant because there were these prenups that would say, I agree to give my wife a get if she requests it or if we're separated. Yes, yeah, but a lot of people thought that l'chadchila it's a violation of this.
People that read this as l'chadchila.
What?
People read the Shulchan Aruch saying.
Yeah, tzarach she'yatiru lo kodem. You shouldn't allow them to get divorced until you're matir the shvua. Right. So if I sign an agreement, I think they say right, looks in prenups with these formulations. If I were to commit myself, obligate myself to give a get. That's basically like a self, whatever this is, right? Nishba, I'm imposing a chiyuv on myself. But why is that a little puzzling? Which could be. Okay, good. So issue number one is it's not clear that you could have self-imposed onsen. Recall the language of the Gemara Babasar, onsen denafshe. So here you impose this on yourself, chiddush to say that that's duress. The duress doesn't come from without, the duress comes from within. What's of course the answer to that? I'm looking here at Benji and Yoni. Benji, there's a reason why I'm asking Benji and Yoni. What's the answer? No one else was in metaphysics. The answer. No. Gosh.
The person you were when you made the shvuah is not the person you are now.
It's your past self. Yeah, your past self is forcing your present self, right? The whole point here is that you obviously don't want to divorce, right? The husband doesn't want to divorce his wife. So you're under duress from your past self, right? It's a past commitment. So maybe that's not. So it's an interesting question. Well, that's considered onsen denafshe. You don't like that, Josh?
No, I do. It's so funny. It's like a separate entity.
Well, how else could it be onsen? What does that mean? Right?
It's a denafshe. I don't know. I can't remember. If you read the Shulchan Aruch, it's saying, like, yeah, like, l'chadchila, you can. I mean, yeah, l'chadchila, entity, you can do much better. It's like, all right, do your best, like, give it away. And, like,
says tzarich. Especially, what does that mean? Tzarich shiati ulo kodem.
When I saw doma la onus, I kind of like I just assumed that.
That's what Romy was saying also. Does it?
No,
Marzayan
doesn't actually doesn't have that much force. But right. Doma onus, it's best that you do it.
Okay, but at least we have a din lachatchila. I mean, at a minimum, it's din lachatchila.
I think also you don't have to be so metaphysical. Just think you change your mind. Meaning,
you might say
yichar. Yeah,
because like maybe that happened.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the same thing. I don't think it's not a crazy idea that you can tell about that self. Like, you just change
that's why I thought it was, yeah.
It's a little sharper when it's compelled by your past self, no?
Yeah, but also less committed to people like that. Okay.
That's how you didn't take metaphysics.
No,
if you took metaphysics, you'd be surprised. Like, what is mischari? Like, what does that even mean?
Honestly,
like, how do you make sense of changing your mind, right? It must be that.
No, I'm going to say like in Shuba, you're a different person.
Yeah, and you also ish.
Yeah, you have to understand that. But
what's the other way?
No, like, I can't like, put it down. Like, they're not saying you like completely forget your past and you're like completely a different person. Like,
you don't have to forget your past to be a different person.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. I don't know what it means to be like metaphysically.
To be a different person.
I think
I'm
scared to admit it.
Yeah.
Like,
scary.
Yeah, I just don't know exactly what to think about.
Think about it. Yeah, study some metaphysics. So the chiddush number one is that it's self-imposed ones. It's not obvious that unsa denafshe could count as ones. Maybe that's why it's merely domel ones. But chiddush number two is, forget about the fact that it's self-imposed, Josh.
It should be no different than when the Torah tells you to do something. Like when I was wondering,
I'll say it a little differently.
Like, I mean, you have a chiyuv to get divorced. Okay, you know, like in every case where the Torah gives you a chiyuv to get divorced.
So say it a little differently. You're arguing by analogy here. It's like, but just say the point.
If you have a chiyuv to get divorced and you do it, that's not called onus.
Yeah, I'll say it's slightly different, but this is what you're getting at. That it's not clear that a duty to maintain, fulfill a shvua is ones.
Come with the Rambam. Like when the Rambam says, like, if you have to do a mitzvah, we're not going to say that
Yeah, you can think of it in those terms, right? Where you all you did was create some sort of legal obligation to divorce. Why should that be duress? But you're free to violate your legal obligation.
No, you're not. Like, that's illegal in presence
of an after. Well, it may not be the right thing to do. Should I say hi to my kids who are walking down the block? Yeah.
Noah! Ayala! Hey guys! How's the trip up? Now,
yes. Here.
Yes.
She's not having it now, right? So embarrassing my kids. It's like, what are you doing?
You're just that age and get embarrassed.
Well,
that's when you have to be like 9.
Yeah, it is 9. Yeah, she's 9. Well, yeah. All right, then they'll realize how normal I am. Okay, so it's not clear that the shvua imposing a plea on yourself is duress, right? So, Yonatan, you were saying, I guess it is. You're free. I mean, no one's forcing you to uphold your shvua.
Particularly because onis usually doesn't include legal obligation. But I think that's a legal category, not necessarily like a philosophical defense. It's not like there's something entirely different about the compulsion of like onis versus.
Do you feel compelled to keep Shabbos?
No, that's because Bezdin isn't threatening me with death, you know?
But they're not threatening him with death here if he violates his Shavua.
Are they threatening him with anything?
But they don't do
no.
If he violates Shavua.
What?
It's not like Majin Boyd if he violates
Shavua. It's just a good question. You're saying it's the fear of punishment? That's the idea?
Well, that's
remember, it's only Dome Elonis.
What?
There's no one in pressure, right? But I'm saying it's right. I agree with you. Right, I agree with Ned. Right, this it's not Austin's commands backed up by the fear of sanction.
It's
It's just the mere fact that there's a duty. That was Josh's point with the analogy, right? It's just a mitzvah.
All the worse that we know that every case of the Torah is trying to get you to get divorced, but like we didn't allow you to fear in those cases. Yeah,
right.
Right.
You
don't have to show that it's a full order.
Correct, but I'm saying, but even here, why is it dumb aloneness? I think that itself is a chiddush. So I think there are two things you have to be mindful of in this first din. So if shvua to give a get, issue number one is so the main point doctrinally is that this creates a problem. As Shulchan Aruch says, this is bad. Maybe not b'di'eved, but l'chatchila should be matir that shvua because the get given under that background framework is dome elonis. That's the main point. Two challenges or two things that we have to figure out related to this din is number one, mechitesi, that self-imposed obligation could be an onus. It's an onus from within, not from without. And number two, all you're doing is creating a normative chiyuv. It's not clear that generation of a normative chiyuv now binds you in such a strong way that you're considered onus to do it. That's the two issues with this talk of the Shulchan Aruch. Yoni?
Yeah, our claim about onus and nashim is our past self. So we're under duress from our past self.
Yeah.
Then onus and nashim as a whole would always be a thing. Because it could even be as quick as, like,
correct.
I literally just said something 2 seconds ago.
Right, except for cases, though, where unsa denapshe is still what you're feeling. Like, you still want, like in the Gemara Bava Basra's case, you still need the cash. And that's what's forcing you to sell. That's different from a case where 10 years ago, I imposed some obligation on myself, and in the present, I'm no longer.
Would you say that is what limited inaction is? Is that permanent?
Exactly. Right. That's how it's different from the case in the Shulchan Aruch where you've clearly changed your mind.
Yeah.
Right. When you got married, you said, "Oh, I'm taking a shvuah. I'm going to give you a get when I, you know, when we stop living together or whatever." But now that you're in a fight, you're no longer interested in that. That's why it's a little different than the ones of the Napsha and the Gemara, where it's like, no, you still want the cash, and you're presently forcing yourself to sell. Josh,
so the thing there that like you don't have to fill your deal. I can't you also say that by like poking, say if they're going to be hitting you and stuff like that. And you don't have to do it. Like it's just bad for you, but like nobody's gonna make
right. But there, it's a different point. There, the rationale is everybody wants to do what the chachamim are telling them to do. Whether you're an al-sheikh person or however you formulate it, but it's not that it's considered kfiya. If anything, it's not that it's considered kfiya because of mitzvah lishma de b'chachamim. Mitzvah lishma de b'chachamim is the reason why it wouldn't be considered kfiya, because it's genuinely consistent with what you want to do. Okay. Ashwani?
And it seems like there has to be something different about this that you want to be able to get. Otherwise, why would any shua hold ever? Wouldn't any shua ever fall into the category of imposed, at least from the government?
Well, I think there's no problem with onus in a lot of cases. Right? So, what's the problem if in the end of the day you're doing something under onus?
I thought onus in the sense that it would like.
No, honest here that it would hassle to get. So you could make yourself honest to be Shomer Shabbos. That's okay. There's no prohibition of being Shomer Shabbos under duress. But there is a problem with giving a get under duress. So it's uniquely problematic. But it's an interesting question. For any mitzvah that requires Ratzon HaChofshi, would taking a shvuah to do that. Okay, look at the second part of the Shulchan Aruch. Ach arbo sitein. Romy, you're reading for us?
Ach arbo sitein, you're such a zedom moment. So the one thing you keep up in your guard.
This is a huge...
What do you mean that you said...
Arbos?
Meaning here, yeah.
What are the arbos? Anybody know?
Guarantor.
It could be a guarantor or... What's the idea of a guarantor?
Somebody else does it for you.
Sort of.
Let's say you weren't able to. Let's say you said on the.
Yeah, so just translate. So translate. You ever come across the Gemara the phrase of an eravon?
Yeah.
So it's an eravon.
Like
so that's arev. What's eravon?
Collateral.
Collateral, or in English today we would just say security. Collateral, right? So you could give a security, meaning you could turn to your wife and say, here is a security. If I don't give the get, you get to keep this. So you give her your, what's the fancy watch?
Rolex.
Yeah, you give her your Rolex watch that's worth $40,000. And you say, you get to keep this if I don't give a get. So the Shulchan Aruch says, that's fine. Arvos yitain im yirtza, she'ein zeh demalones. I have to figure out why that's the case. Why is this not domel onus? Why is a shvua kosher in the mind of the Shulchan Aruch? Sorry, why is a shvua domel onus, but not the financial pressure that is self-created through depositing your Rolex as a security? Haga, the Rama adds on to this. Go ahead, Rami. Yeah, if you do some sort of kinyan to obligate yourself to divorce. It's not clear to me. We'll have to look at this Chumash Hadeshin inside. You know, the Maharoi always refers to the Chumash Hadeshin. Why is Maharoi the Chumash Hadeshin?
Maharoi.
Well? No. What? Because his name is Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin. Just they didn't want to do the Yud before the Aleph.
Why?
No. But Maharai is always the Chumash Hadeshin, the Bistral Islam. So they know how to look it up. So that's somehow analogous to giving the Rolex. Okay. But then we get a bit of an about face within the Shulchan Aruch. This is crucial. Go ahead, Rami. Aval.
But if he just like took on upon himself that he didn't give her a get, he would.
I think the line v'hu adin.
Yeah.
I think that's saying that it's problematic. If you're makabel a kinyan legarish.
You don't think it's going on the aims that don't allow expert.
Right. We'll have to double check in the Chumash Hadeshah. But we have this contrast. The next naval im kibel kenasos.
Let me read it again.
Yeah.
Aval im kibel kenasos imoli garish lo mekri unes ma'afer di tala bita v'davar acher. But you call it kinyan kenasos lo legarish.
So what's going on?
That in a case where he said that if he doesn't give or get, he'll pay whatever fines, but that's not considered onus because he was kind of told he did whatever after is, but for that.
Well, he explains what Tolagita Vidavrachar is, I think.
Doing with information that he can pay the consul and not give a...
Exactly.
Meaning...
The guy says, I am liable to pay you $1 million, or let's make it a little more plausible. I'm liable to pay you $200,000 for every year that I don't give you a get. Okay. That's mekabel knas. So is that onus or is that not onus? Not onus. Why? Because you're tola gita b'davar acher. Yeah. So to me, that sounds like this path, right? Path theory, meaning you're not forcing him to give his wife a get because there's a path open to him where he's just simply paying the penalty and not divorcing her. So there are two options, right?
There's the path open to him of Megarish. And there's a path open to him of knas.
We're not forcing him down this path
because this path is equally available to him. Correct?
So the argument here of the Beis Yosef in the Marik and the Tshuva side in the Beis Yosef is that so long as there's no direct kfiya into the Gerushin, it's totally fine to make it costly and expensive for him to choose to not divorce. Well, actively is tricky here because read the language of in the Shulchan Aruch again. Im kibel alav kenasos. So it's self-imposed in this case, right? That's pretty crucial. No one's imposing it on him. Right, so it's a self-imposed financial burden. Kobe?
I think like the way to divide it, just to add on to the path here, is about who like puts like who limits his options. Like the reason like Shua is don't know this is because he himself had to take the Shua, he chose to take the Shua, so he is like limiting his options. Like, I'm pretty sure if you don't do a Shua, they're gonna say beat you. I think that's why don't know this.
That came up before, right? Ned and I don't think that's the case. We think it's just the normative pull of the Chiyuv Shvuah.
Yeah, I think it's like nice to think that because then, like the outcome that it looks the same, like if forbidden is beating you, or the reason don't know it is because, okay, you chose to do this to yourself. You chose to limit your options, like you have like other cases where like you still have all these options available to you, so you're limited yourself.
Right. Like, you're saying Nishba Lagarish is a stronger self-constraint.
Yeah.
Because Nizbal Agarish means that you're forcing yourself onto the Gerushin track.
Right.
You don't have this other option.
Right. The reason is don't go on this, like, you force it on yourself. It's not quite the same as, like, other guys. But still, you always feel limiting yourself, like, one option.
Interesting. So I wonder, on my reading of the Ramah, but who had been in Kibel Kinyan Lagarish, if you obligate yourself to divorce, let's say without a Shavua, that's also forcing yourself onto a Gerushin path. Right, even though all you did was make a kinyan that you're going to do it. So you could say, even though the pressure is not, like, what's at stake? So you'll violate your kinyan. but you did something pushing yourself into the, like, there's only one option now, which is divorce. There's only one legally acceptable option. It's interesting. I like that hard. Nachshoni, and then Aromi of hand also. Nachshoni, then Aromi.
We're talking about regret, just the money is being talking about in business with people? Or
No. I'm going to pay a penalty. I'm going to pay $1 million if I don't give a get.
So regret is how you frame it, whether it's him bringing it upon himself, so you take the money. It's not like the other.
Yeah, but only because he imposed liability on himself.
No, you could say you're good, but you feel like you're cheating. Like, the fact is that you're doing something to criminalize it, whereas if you're just not socializing with him or not giving his child a good, that you could say is passive. It's active. Once you're talking about finding him, even if and doing it for himself, so the
okay, hold off on that because we're going to see that in the Pesachei Tshuva. I think that's what he's concerned about. Okay, like you're worried about when we're enforcing it. We're forcing it. We're taking money from him.
Right.
That's what you're concerned about.
Well, when we take money, then we are actively enforcing.
The counter argument is that you're just complying with his ratzon when he imposed the knas on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, he obligated himself with the knas. So we're just doing his bidding or the bidding of his past self when he undertook that chiyuv.
Right.
Rami?
Yeah. First of all, if you took this to like enough of the extreme, then it wouldn't work. Meaning if he, I don't know, whatever the case would be, that there were like there's no other option. Meaning the plan was too good, but that wouldn't work.
If he imposed a huge knaf on himself.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of that? Shulchan Aruch, you don't get any distinction.
Well, right, but presumably then you have another option.
He could live in really poverty pay. And
I'm saying at some point it's not considered an option, saying it's not considered an option being. Yeah.
That's fair. That's an interesting point.
Okay, $10 million.
I think if he only has three, it's not like.
What's the punishment?
How would you impose that?
Let's say you'd have to foreclose on all.
You bring up now. You do that so that you'll just divorce the person. So then you impose a really large sum. So that considered closure.
If he's imposing on himself, then he would just decide to divorce.
I think Romy is just saying, is there a point at which the financial self-imposed
matter? I mean, if he can't, if there's, I don't know, if there's no other person, he can give a son a bris, according to my record, so whatever they done.
So you're open to, so your kid won't have a bris. Why is that? That's a path. So your kid's into
Whatever the gamble is, if nobody's going to feed him, nobody will sell him food, supermarket will sell him food, right? There's room for
him. You can get across that.
Yeah, you're asking threshold questions.
Huh?
You're asking threshold questions. Yeah. Like,
the threshold for self-imposed, not so.
Might be, yeah, but there may not be any.
Yeah. If there's no other option, it's not really like he wouldn't do that to himself because then he could decide to divorce in the first place. I'm not going to say to myself, I need to pay $50 million or else I have to divorce. That's just saying I want to divorce.
So that sounds like you're agreeing with Romy. You're saying that would be the equivalent of like Nishba Litain Get or something, where you've left yourself with only one viable option.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
But unless I'm saying, not if I'm saying I would give her $20 a week or something. That is a good.
Yeah, but right, you can come with scenarios. You had money, you walked for money.
That's kind of like the Machloket about like the Lieberman clause now. Like whether it's like people say like it's like too much money or something like that. I forget exactly. Maybe I'm like the story. I have the wrong idea.
I think that's not about the
letter. How much? At what point did you say it's a smachta that you're not likely to pay?
Well, the question is, why does a smachta matter?
Yeah.
What's a smachta?
Smachta that you didn't intend to obligate yourself.
Oh.
But.
And then, what do you think that? As opposed to what?
As opposed to obligating yourself to give a get. So Kibel Kinyan Lagare should be problematic. But
our Oscar is the money? Or
yeah.
The...
Correct. Like you're not saying I'm machayev myself to give you a get. I'm being machayev myself to give you money if I fail to give you a get.
I suppose the color, color needs to be the one.
In the phrase?
Yeah, I just think it's a weird phrase.
The get is really contingent on something else.
Other than
the giving the get itself. What's weird about it?
I think that when trying to get it in the language is oversell. You're not being pulled on something else, you're being pulled on yourself. It looks like it's on the money. You're paying the money, so of course you're being told yourself. Like, what if you told somebody, beat me up if I don't get my whip again?
Okay, what then?
So I'm being told whatever after. I'm just saying
I need to think of that. Yeah. Right. Like, let's say you say, beat up my father, beat up my brother if I don't give a get. That'd be totally good. Right? We'll talk about that.
Other than you're giving a get.
Correct. Something like the kfiyah is on something external. Right? Okay. You could always pay and not divorce. That's the point. Okay, but then the Shulchan Aruch walks us back. So go ahead, Rami.
You
also get a sense of what the Shulchan Aruch is doing here. You see, the Shulchan Aruch is trying to synthesize a lot of different shitos that are at odds with each other, right? So it's like, oh, here's the Chatchila, Yesh Cholkin, but like maybe it's better to be Machmir where you can. So we say, Yesh Machmir and Fil B'chai Gavna. Chubas Rashba. So the Rashba doesn't like this distinction between Tola Gita B'davar Acher, which is what you were getting cranky about a second ago, right? Meaning, it's all just fancy footwork, just clever machinations to say that, oh, I could pay the financial penalty and not give the get. The financial penalty, even though it looks independent, is incentivizing you, it's motivating you, it's pushing you to go ahead with the gerushin. Right, so the Rashba seems to be skeptical of this type of move. And the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'tov lachosh lechatchila." Meaning, meaning referring to the Shua. So notice here that the Ritva says the reason why the din of Nishba Baal Litain gets, that's Chal B'Dieved, and it's merely the Chatchila that we're Matir the Shua, is because it's self-imposed. Nobody forced you to take the Shua. That's a clear idea that Unsa Dinafshe won't be Make, won't possible to get B'Dieved. At most, it's a din Chatchila. But notice that the Shulchan Aruch comes out saying that this idea of being mechayiv yourself in a knas is problematic, lechatchila at least. Tov lachosh lechatchila lepachem in a knas. So this is the nail in the coffin for the prenups that try to impose a financial penalty on the husband for not giving a get.
What?
No, we don't do that because that would violate this sif in the Shulchan Aruch. No.
Doesn't say
why are you trying to make the prenup work? Right now we're just learning the halacha. Forget about the prenup.
You just said a good reason. You put a prenup.
Right, but you're saying, but what do we do?
No, I'm not.
We'll figure out what we do. I'm just saying what we can't do.
Are you putting the nail in the coffin for the thing that we do, or are you saying the nail in the coffin for this alternative prenup that we can accept?
The alternative prenup that we don't accept.
I thought the language I looked at last week, not for myself, revenge. But it says, you can't show up to this.
You should have thought on that when you said it.
I did. I
think, Look, that's not, no, we have to explain that's not a prenup birth. It can't, because it would violate a din in the Shulchan Aruch here, right? Okay, so you don't want to be at odds with the Toblach HaShlechatekila Pajam and Akanas. So this is widely seen as the opposition to those types of incentive, financial knassos that would be self-imposed duress or self-imposed incentives to give a get. If the mechanism is through a knas. Okay, so tov lachash chathil apachim in a knas. Which seems to be basically a lechathila rejection of the idea of talagita b'davaracher v'yuchal litin aknas as well garish. In the back and forth of Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Yeshomrim. Here's the last line in this piece of the discussion in Shulchan Aruch. What's going on here?
Again,
like the language of Adam Atzma is. Just
translate it. Unless the person coerces himself.
No.
For the person itself is coerced.
Unless we are coercing the perpetrator.
Okay.
So, like, if you're the recalcitrant husband, so it's only honest if we're forcing you.
Okay.
Aval, well, what do you say?
Ezra.
What do you say, Ezra? Recalcitrant.
Having an obstinately uncooperative attitude toward authority or discipline.
Isn't that the perfect word?
Perfect. I just feel like we should use words that everyone understands.
You have Google. I mean, don't you want to learn vocab?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you like
now that you're in YC, don't you want to learn vocab?
No.
So let's say Romy is the recalcitrant husband. So it's not considered. So it's only considered on us if we force Romy, right? So there has to be like agent specific or like focused on him for it to be considered duress. Aval.
Aval, in onsin la ba'acher ashigar chaviro, we can beat up Benji for that.
Exactly. Exactly. We could put pressure on Benji and say. Benji, we're not gonna, I don't know, let you graduate YU until Romy complies. That's not considered duress. At least the thought here is that we're worried that Romy is gonna have such rachmanos on Benji that'll move him to capitulate to give the get. So that's an interesting thing. Like, why would you what's the basis for this distinction between anus on the person or something? Again, you might just say, well, it doesn't put acute pressure, right? It's not like the Snickers commercial where Romy's not himself so long as Benji's not graduating. It's just one consideration that, right, is factors into Romy's rational deliberation is the welfare of Benji. Right? But it's not like so long as Benji hasn't graduated, like Romy can't think straight. Or so you might think of it along those lines, or you might think just like almost in terms of Josh's categories of active versus passive. By definition, kfiya requires some sort of direct interaction with the perpetrator, right? With the person who's being nanas. Just like there are these, you know, immediateness requirements, proximity requirements for something to register as halachic onus. But in the Shulchan Aruch itself, as a matter of law, we have this really interesting distinction between ones la'adam atzmo and ones la'achar ad she'igarish chavero. So you notice this comes from the Tshuva Tashbetz, which we're going to look at in that really long Tshuva Tashbetz.
We're
going to
look at that.
Yeah. I'm going to trim it down a little bit, but we're going to look at that monster. It's a monster. It's the first Tshuva Tashbetz, I think, right? It's that monster. Tshuva. Most of it's just like the facts of the case. I don't know if you started wading through it.
I refuse to look at it.
Yeah, it's a little scary. It's a little scary looking. Well,
that's my joke.
To read it.
I can read it.
Yeah. Okay. So go on, Romy. Apilu aval beno.
Apilu aval beno. What happened to the
The thought is, even if you're coercing a father for the son to give a get, that's not considered ones. But some people are machmir for aval b'no. We have to figure out what's the basis for that chumra. If it's about the proximity thing, for the immediateness of like, well,
you mean like it should go both ways?
No, or why should an av be different than anybody else? Yeah. It's not like a father is like physically closer to, right? The well, bra kar davua, maybe. I think it's a little less plausible. I think probably Shulchan Aruch's thinking in terms of the amount of pressure it applies. Right? I mean, if Romy is happy to let Benji not graduate, but if you get a little closer to Romy, go to his immediate family, then that might be like a Snickers bar. Yeah.
The language of Adam Akko is confusing. Is that but only if you beat him up?
Yeah.
Like, where do we get the idea that?
Or that you're applying something directly affecting him.
Where do we get the idea that beating up Benji doesn't directly affect me?
What? Or, it's not. How would that
right? Yeah, no, I'm serious. I'm saying. Or. I don't know. I mean,
you say Kofi no so, like usually it's a direct, it sounds direct.
Right.
Thinking, if you don't feed me,
we weren't coping you.
If you don't sell food to
it's me, not our fault that you like Benji.
All the hard fuck goes. That's not Adam Atma.
No, it's past.
Right. What do you mean? It's Adam Atma. I can't get me food anywhere.
You can pick up a bow and go hunting.
Why is it not Adam Atma? It's not coercion.
Romy can't. Romy, you know, he swore off.
No, we said coercion about the mask. That's coercion of the mask. Is it about proximity to me or the whether I have other options or both? You're saying both.
No, these are all open questions. We don't know. We don't know exactly.
Okay, but I'm going to say to the extent.
We have a few models open on the table. We haven't seen anything yet in the Rishonim here to commit themselves to what exact, like, why, what makes something fear versus not fear.
Okay.
We've seen a few suggestions.
To the extent that only sweat being coped with Adam Atmo, there are ways other than physical. Used to like beating him up to be COVID person.
Yeah, like his finances. So we said if you're taking away we'll see this explicitly, right? If it seems to be his money that he's losing, then that's Kofa Adam Atzmo without touching his goof.
Correct. Okay. So I'm trying to say
once you say that, so Benji's different than your money. If we went to your bank account and depleted it until you give a get, that's Kofa Adam Atzmo.
Okay, what if
but not letting Benji graduate is not Kofa Adam Atzmo.
What? Okay, but I guess
the bot they did in Israel love this. Like,
I don't think it's sharp.
Like, they'll say, like, oh, we're not going to bury your parents until you give a get. That's not Kofes Adam Atzmo. No one's saying your parents have, like, maybe you don't care about your parents. You don't care about your wife, so you don't care about your parents either.
That's not fair. That's another concern. What if Benji,
if Benji attacked you to give a get, no, then not. That'd be a get. That'd be.
No, I'm saying, like, what if you can't imagine a situation where, of course, something that's not me affects me very.
It does affect you.
If someone puts a knife up to you, like your child's, like, you know.
Yeah, okay, they're not being so mean. It's not going to watch out. So that's not other maximum?
It's not other maximum. Right. I suppose their initial written benefits your son is other maximum.
Right.
Okay, I guess.
Dafka Ba'av Al Bino.
I don't think it's sufficiently.
Sorry,
that's okay.
Right, but you see the distinctions here. We need to work with them. We need to figure out what's this distinction getting at. But you see that one important distinction here is how proximate is it to you. And right, so we know that Onsen La'achar Jigarish Kaver is okay. Fil Aval Bino. And then, according to the Beis Yosef, Aval Bino is a little controversial. All right? Okay. Now, two other points I want to make in this discussion of Shulchan Aruch and Kaflam Medalet. I'd say it's very worthwhile to read through all of Kaflam Medalet. Kaflam Medalet is the Simen on Modah and Kfiya. It's worthwhile to go through the whole thing. I have some more of it later on in the Makor sheet. But I just want to mention very quickly, Beis Shmuel, bottom of 23, Kaflam Medalet above. Tzarech Sheyatiru Lo, this is obvious, but... All these issues are assuming it's a case of kviya shelo kedin. Because once it's kviya kedin, of course, you could even go to his body. Right? You could beat him directly. So whatever the issues are on the Shulchan Aruch, that's only in kviya shelo kedin cases. I'm just going to frame it. I'm just going to, Rumi, we spoke about this, I think, earlier in the year, but, you know, people talk about prenups, blah, blah, blah. The only time you need those things are for cases when there's no halachic basis for kfiyah ligarish. When there is halachic kfiyah, when there's a halachic basis for kfiyah ligarish, of course, you could deplete all his assets and could be kofa him in any way. Right? Just bear in mind that these issues are only for kfiyah shalokadin. When you're not justified in halachically coercing, so you need a framework to justify it not being kfiyah. And that's what we're discussing here. And you can see this also in the Taz. That's the Bishmuel. The second point I want to make is the Taz, Shelo Yehei Doma Leones. That was that first line that was confusing in the Shulchan Aruch about the Nishba. So in his view, why is Nishba Ligaresh not actual Ones? So what does he say? So go first, Pir Shav Emes. What's the answer? Why is it not genuine ones?
Because, like, kind of like the distinction that we see in Bodhisattva, there's an onset of Nasher and onset of Achriya. Here he's imposing the chiyuv on himself versus good. Somebody else.
A self imposed chiyuv is not really ones, even though it's your past self, right? But your past self did it volitionally. So that's enough to be viewed miritsono. It's an interesting point. Even though your present self clearly doesn't want to give the get. But we don't view that as honest here, because you brought it upon yourself. So you would say something similar for the knasos also, right? If you were mischai of yourself to pay a penalty for not giving a get, that's ein zaonas kimin shemiratzon. Like, you brought this on your own free will when you were getting married. The fact that you changed your mind later doesn't turn it into anus, right? So there's no anus from the past self to the present self. Now remember, this is 2 days from the Shulchan Aruch, I think. What? Josh, you have a...
Yeah, do you think he's saying that, I mean, it's not considered anus right now because it was your choice to do it, so like, okay, now you're choosing to do it and we're not going to call it anus, or is it that like, maybe it doesn't matter if it's only right now because you have to give a get me retzon and we have retzon and we can look back to the time that you
yeah.
were on the shua.
Like a blade of grass that's, you know,
or not even like you need to get divorced volitionally and we have your relationship. Happens
from this. Earlier on.
Do you think that's possible or do you think it's more than like right now?
It's... It is possible. It's hard to know though. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, or not opposite, similar type idea that this is like your das from earlier continues to supply for the gershon. Now, the Pisgei Tshuva, when he comments on this, the Shulchan Aruch, he does away with all the kulas. Any kula that you might have gotten from the Shulchan Aruch itself are obliterated in the Pisgei Tshuva. This is one of those simanim of Shulchan Aruch where you get whiplash from the just kind of the oscillation between the Matirim, Machmirim, the Chetchila, B'diavad. In the Shulchan Aruch itself, you get the sense that at least all that's at stake here is a Din Chetchila. Somebody before said, well, what about those prenups that have financial penalty? And I said it's against Shulchan Aruch and some of the Welsh just Din Chetchila. Josh, you said that, right? But if you see in the Pisgei Tshuva, he wants to deny that there it's just a Din Chetchila. So let's just read through this Pisgei Tshuva and then we'll do the rest in the next year. It says, Tov Lachash Lechatchilayim, B'tshuvas Mishkanas Yaakov, Simen Lamerches. Odos Haget, Asher Achar Hanesina, Amad Habal, V'irer Kamir Urim, V'achar Meir Urim, Hushahaya Anos, Alpi Ha Compromise. I think that means, what is that? I think they were contracts. I think they were just like legal agreements that people had in, you know, 19th century Europe. Ashim Revu Arba, which provided, Shim Lo Yivienu Aviv Ligare, Shitin Knas Sacha Mevu Arsham. You know, that if the father didn't get him to give a get, he would pay this penalty. So it was like a prenuptial agreement, a compromise, a contract that specified if you don't divorce, you're going to pay a fine. And the Mishkanas Yaakov, we'll talk about the Mishkanas Yaakov, a very influential posik. Herech me'od de'yesh lahachmir b'zeh mikam atamim. So you should be machmir for your free reasons. He cites the Rama. Yesh machlokas min arashba v'arashbats. U'mitoch kach pasak divid di'eved yesh lahakel. Hine lafia mavur besimen besefer michtam elio bedine abitol simen chaf and other achronim also bedine moda ein kan machlokas klal. Although the Ramah makes it sound like there's a genuine machlokas between the Tashbates and the Rashba, that's over here. If you're mechayiv yourself to pay a knas, is that so? The Rama made it sound like it's talagita b'davar acher and it's okay, and it's only the Rashba who's machmir, right? Remember that from the Rama's presentation. The Mishkanos Yaakov doesn't like that. Ein kam machlokas klal. V'ha'ikar toloi be'im she'anachnu yodim u'makirin she'ein megaresh ela mitzad haknas. U'megala daito b'kach havaged me'usa. So it's a big chiddush. He says, if you read the poskim carefully that the Rama is citing, there's no disagreement in the case where we know that the husband's only giving the get because of financial pressure. So if the husband's saying, like, I don't want to divorce my wife, but I can't afford the financial penalty, so I'm kind of forced to divorce her, there the Piskei Tshuva thinks that everybody would agree that's a get me'usa. Aye, what about the shita in the Rama that is tola gita b'davar acher? Right, after all, you could always just not divorce your wife and pay the penalty. So he says, lo hitiru harashbats rak benidon detu shekiva mitchilo haknaf mitzad atzmo b'ratzono hapashot b'lo zoz midaito mitchilo b'yatzo. The oz ein litlo sh'asa zeh machmas onos. The case where the Rama is matir, based off those tshuvos, is limited to a case where the husband never changed his mind. When they got engaged or when they got married, he signed an agreement saying, if I don't give you a get, I'm going to pay a kanas. Then whatever, they ended up getting separated and the husband wrote her a get. He never ever said he doesn't want to divorce her. Then the shaila is, oh, do we have to be choshesh that this is a coerced get because lurking in the background is a financial penalty if he refuses to do so? There, the Rashbats and the Ramah say, oh, we don't have to go out of our way to be matir the knas because, you know, it's tola b'davar acher. But in a case where we know that the husband's only giving the get because of the financial pressure, there everybody would agree it's a get me'usa. That's how the later achronim read that kula in the Shulchan Aruch. So coming back to Josh's point, Josh was saying, oh, why not just have a prenup where you say, if I don't give my wife a get, I'll pay $100,000 a year. And the Ramah said, l'chatchila, you shouldn't do that, b'diavad, it's okay. Correct? So the Piskei Tshuva's analysis is that would only be okay b'diavad if the husband gave a get b'ratzon hachavshi. He signed such a prenup, and he never, ever, ever said he doesn't want to divorce his wife. In such a case, we won't say, oh, do we have to be choshesh that there's financial coercion because of the potential for the financial liability. But in a case where the husband says, I don't want to divorce her, but I can't afford the knas, there everybody would agree it's a get me'usa. Everybody see that? That's the analysis of the Piskei Tshuva. Now, okay, we'll talk more about this, but can we add a question, comment? Okay. Let's stop here. You get the first line of objection from the Mishkanos Yaakov and the Piskei Tshuva. Let's start next year. I want to just go over the other objections in the Piskei Tshuva. Very important Piskei Tshuva, because this Piskei Tshuva is the monkey wrench that destroys most prenuptial formulations. Then I want us to continue 24, 25. And I want us to talk about kfiya with a threat of sending someone to jail. That's the Tshuva Rashba. The Nidoy and Cherem, that's the Mordechai. Through relatives, that's the Mordechai. Financial coercion, that's the Meiri. And the Tshuva of the Rashba, Ritva, and Meiri that go through roughly page 30. All right?
Thank you.
Okay, shkaf, guys.
Yeah. There's a mint part of the high class.